As I mentioned earlier, the battle is still raging in the northern Iraqi city of Mosul. ISIS militants are cornered in the old city. Iraqi and coalition forces are advancing slowly, capturing as little as one city block per day, if that. And ISIS fighters continue to strike back. Yesterday, they appear to have detonated explosives in Mosul's 12th century mosque. That iconic structure with its famous leaning minaret is now in ruins. Nabi Boulos is a special correspondent for the Los Angeles Times. He left Mosul on Tuesday and says ISIS is using everything it has to hold on.
Talking about the use of 23-millimeter guns, so the stuff that's used for anti-aircraft. We're talking about, swarms of suicide bombers. I mean, they're no longer using car bombs now because there's just no space. So they're using, snipers by the ton. It's been really very, very hard going.
You were with the Iraqi army as they're trying to kind of move in inch by inch to the old city. Visualize that for us. How is that taking place?
Essentially, it's Stalingrad-esque. Almost no building has been left unharmed. So, I mean, the place is obviously a morass of masonry and twisted metal. And so people are, I mean, the soldiers are, of course, creeping along, as you said, but they're also dealing with snipers and suicide bombers. And so therefore, they're being very careful. But the problem is compounded by the fact that you have civilians, lots and lots of civilians. And the moment they see an opening, many of them run toward security forces, which means that they have to struggle to actually decide who is friend or foe among the swarms who are coming to them. And that's why it's also very difficult. I mean, we're talking about a situation where they have to call in airstrikes very often just to be able to advance. And of course, we're talking about different groups here. I mean, you have the Iraqi army, but then you have the special forces groups that are doing a better job in terms of advancing, but they have to wait for the others to secure their flanks. So really, it's been very, very hard going.
I know you left just before the destruction of the city's iconic Nuri Mosque. Tell us the sort of symbolic importance this mosque held for the residents of Mosul and really for all Iraqis.
Well, I mean, the mosque and the minaret that is attached to it, which is called the Hadba or the Hunchback, I mean, these have been the icons of Mosul. Mosul, in fact, was often called Al-Hadba instead of its name because the monument was basically synonymous with the city.
And that minaret, it's called the Hunchback because it leans.
Yes. I mean, at the time when it still stood, it was listing and there were efforts to try to save it by different aid groups. Then, of course, Islamic State came in. And supposedly the group had actually placed mines around it back in the day. I mean, it's actually kind of a surprise that it had lasted, so long and had still been standing.
It sounds strange to me that ISIS militants, which are supposed to be religious, destroy a mosque. Explain that for me.
They don't care if they destroy it. Yes, you're right. It has symbolism. Yes, it's an important place because it was where the group's leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, had given his first speech as a caliph. But at the same time, if it's a function of denying Iraqi troops a symbolic victory, then they'll do it, I think, without hesitation. But it should also be said that Islamic State has blamed the coalition for it.
How was the mosque actually toppled?
So the footage that we've seen, and again, this is secondhand, so I can't confirm it myself. You see the mosque still standing, and then you suddenly see this series of explosions along the mosque's minaret and then ripping through the rest of the structure. And then it collapses to dust. Based on that footage, it was a controlled explosion by Islamic State. Now, but again, they say that it was an airstrike that did it, so.
What's your sense of how and when this might end, this advance on the old city of Mosul?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. I mean, these things are very hard to gauge, so I'm a bit hesitant to give you a firm answer. But I'd be surprised if they managed to do it before a month, to be honest with you. It's just very, very hard going, and their intention is not to come out with the city completely destroyed and all the civilians dead. I mean, if they had, then they could have just carpet bombed the place and be done with it. But the fact is they're going to have to go by foot and clear the place room by room. And this is very difficult.
Can you tell us about a conversation you might have had with someone who fled the old city?
As we were advancing through the different neighborhoods, you would see civilians taking the chance to run away. I mean, there would be a lull in the fighting or something, and they would just run and flee towards the security forces. And so then they can be given aid and taken to somewhere safe. And many of them have spoken about horrific conditions inside. I mean, one lady told me that they had to sell all their belongings so they could basically get 6 jerry cans of water. I mean, there's no fresh water, it seems. Food, of course, is very expensive. I mean, you see many of these refugees, basically just grabbing at the food and they're quite hungry. It seems to have been really, really desperate.
Are many of these civilians who are coming out of the old city of Mosul, are they also wary of the Iraqi troops?
For sure. I mean, they've been hearing for the last 3 years that the security forces will kill them. And let's not forget that the Iraqi army's history in Mosul, even before its fall into the hands of Islamic State, was not very good. You know, there's a reason why the Islamic State was able to basically take over Mosul with a skeleton force of fighters. That's because, the people there they had had enough of the Iraqi army. And for them, anyone that came was seen as a liberator. But with that being said, I mean, many of them now have a different tune. And yes, they're wary, but for them, it seems that it's better to come to the security forces than to stay under the militants.
And is their next stop a refugee camp?
For a lot of them, yes. I mean, the men are rounded up and are then checked for links to Islamic State, you know, on this database that they have. But yes, I mean, for most of them, they end up going to refugee camp until they can return. I mean, the fact of the matter is that there have been people who have returned even to some neighborhoods of West Mosul to check out their areas after they've been liberated by the Iraqi forces. So, I mean, there's a chance they can return, but it'll be a while.
Nabi Boulos is a special correspondent for the Los Angeles Times. Thanks so much, Nabi.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
An update now on a story from Mosul we brought you yesterday. We interviewed American relief worker David Eubank. He walked through a hail of ISIS gunfire to rescue a 6-year-old Iraqi girl. The girl's family had been shot as they fled a Mosul neighborhood. She survived by hiding beneath her mother's hijab. Today we tracked down Major Nassim Al-Kafaji on the outskirts of Mosul. He's the chief medical officer of the Iraqi Army's 36th Armored Brigade. He's been watching the little girl adjust to her new life under the care of local elders.
The old woman now is to take care to her, you know. Our neighbor have a little girl, same age, you know.
So she has someone to be with.
Yeah.
In the days after her rescue, the 6-year-old had been too stunned to talk and wouldn't even tell people her name. Major Al-Kafaji says her new young neighbor coaxed the name out of her.
When she asked her about her name, she said, "My name is Tiba," and she speak but it's little. She now is better.
A small step for a young child still completely in shock.